Live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB. Brought to you by Mark Tytel with Realty First.
Minutes past the hour, Easter Sunday. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, everybody. I'm Elise Glink. Hope you're having a great holiday weekend. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time. ThinkGlink.com, ThinkGlink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter and check out all the different places that you can go online in the ThinkGlink community. We are running a really fantastic information service at the Equifax Personal Finance blog, where you can read about credit from the people who do it, credit at, from Equifax, insurance, tax, retirement, real estate, the five pillars of personal finance. My good friend Linda Ray, who writes about insurance, this week wrote about how to protect your big day with wedding insurance. Of course, wedding is on the mind of just about everybody, well, at least about a third of the world. Friday, this coming Friday, Prince William and Kate Middleton, a commoner, are going to get hitched. And they estimate over $2 billion, that's with a B, people will be watching, which is kind of incredible. We've got some information about that at the Linda Ray article, Protect Your Big Day with Wedding Insurance. There are some other ways that you can get involved. We've been very active on Money Watch this week. There's a lot going on. We published a really big spread on loan modification hell. I'll put some links up on the blog today for it. And, of course, taking your questions here online, the show today, Easter Sunday, 404-872-0750. I do want to start with some news of the week. This is sort of an interesting week. I don't know if you caught this, but S&P, which in my mind really contributed to the whole housing crisis by giving AAA ratings to really lousy lousy bonds is really all you can say. It mortgage-backed securities that were in the dumper or should have been, and they were giving it AAA ratings. They announced that they may have to downgrade U.S. debt. Not today. Really interesting. It's a year before the election, but sometime in the future if the U.S. doesn't get its act together. I thought that was really rich. We saw in reaction to that the Dow take a quick 300-point negative swing. 400 points, and then build its way back the rest of the week. It's up for the week, 164 points, ending at 12,505. Pretty high up there, I got to say. Bonds dropped to just a hair, really, but really kind of crazy. And then we saw some more housing negative news this week. That's not so fun. Housing starts in March came in at a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 549,000. Well, that was 7.2% above the estimate for February. Unfortunately, it's really far below what it was a year ago, which, of course, is far below where it was a year before that. And so we see that for existing home sales, that the seasonally adjusted annual rate was up 3.7% from February, but off 11% from a year ago. I just can't see how we're ever going to have a robust recovery when the housing market is in the toilet. I mean, there's just no way that that's going to happen. On the other hand, you know, GE, which is, I think, the country's largest company, reported a huge first quarter result along with AT&T. So there are companies that are making money. And again, it's a very uneven recovery. We'll have some more news. There's some really interesting stuff coming up a little later this week. Bernanke is going to actually hold a television news conference Wednesday, a live conference. He almost never does that, and it's he's going to talk about how they present information. There's some negative information coming out about how all this money that the Fed has spent buying bonds has kind of stabilized the country but not really helped to bring about a huge, robust recovery. There's that word again. And then we saw gold this week hit $1,503. $1,500 an ounce. An ounce. I was giving a speech this week, and a woman asked me if she's Indian, and she's an 11-year-old daughter. She said, should I borrow from my 401k to start buying gold? I'm like, no, no. Price of gold could come back down. Let's count on that. On the other hand, there's an analyst out there who's saying $5,000 an ounce. Remember how that sounded when they were like, oh, you know, the stock market, it could be at 8,000 by wherever. Got to watch out for analysts bearing gifts. 404-872-0750, Easter Sunday here on News Talk WSB. Happy to take your questions today. Call in now. We've got a few lines open, but we're going to go to the phones. Metu joins us on the line. Is that how I pronounce your name?
Yes, that's correct.
Good. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Happy Easter, Lisa.
Thank you.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Listen, I have an issue. I need your advice. My son is going to graduate school in Fort Lauderdale.
Uh-huh.
So when you looked at the renting, it's about double occupancy, $1,500, $1,600. Then some of my friends, obviously they are not professional, advised me to buy a condo near, and so that you can, you know, probably avoid the rent, you know, down payment.
How many years will he be in graduate school?
Yeah,
like 6 years, 7 years, 2 years, what?
No, 4 years minimum. Then afterwards, his training period may be there, may not be there. It depends on where he
is. Is he in going to medical school?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So you're looking at a four-year play, and it's $1,500 a year. Or $1,500 a month, or $18,000 a year times four.
Correct. Minimum.
Minimum, right.
Yeah.
And how much would you have to spend to buy a place that he could then live in and rent out the other unit, or the other bedroom?
I didn't get that question.
Okay, so the question is, if you had to buy either a one- or two-bedroom condo for him, Fort Lauderdale, how much would you have to spend right now?
How much that in the down payment, you mean?
No, how much would you have to spend? What's the cost of the unit?
Cost of the unit.
Cost of the unit, annual maintenance?
Yeah, you know, it's about between $300,000 and $400,000.
Okay.
Maintenance will be around, you know, $7,000 altogether.
Okay, so let's say $500 a month.
Yeah.
For the maintenance.
Right.
And this is the, are you going to include the taxes? Taxes are not with the maintenance. You have to pay taxes separately.
Yeah, that's correct. How much you're going to pay taxes.
Okay, so let's just say taxes are $10,000. I don't know if that's right. It seems a little high, but you never know. Florida's kind of broke, too. Okay, you have a $300,000 house. You're going to have to put down $60,000 in cash.
Right.
Right?
20%, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And then you're going to have to pay for the $6,000 a year plus the $10,000 in taxes, so it's another $16,000 a year. What do you think is going to happen at the end of 4 years?
I don't know. That's very important.
You're paying more money on the down payment and the annual maintenance fees than it would cost you for your son to actually pay for the rent.
I see. Okay.
So if you are asking me if you're going to make money on this unit, I would say that Fort Lauderdale, like most of South Florida, has a lot of foreclosures,
yes,
has so many homes for sale that I think it'd be very hard to guarantee you'd be able to let this thing go. So you'd only keep it if you felt like you were going to be living in it or using it as a vacation home or able to rent it out. And at $300,000, these numbers don't work. If you're talking to me like $100,000 or $60,000 or $70,000,
I see.
That's a whole different story.
I see.
But when you start spending $300,000-$500,000 on top of his medical school tuition,
I think he's playing student loan. But that's my question. You know, whether it's worth it. I'm not expecting to make any money investment, but
you may lose money. I mean, property prices could go down another 10-15%.
I see.
So you're gonna, if you just multiply out 18,000 times four. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at $72,000.
I see.
That's all in.
I see.
Right? Now, and I know it's not an insignificant amount of money. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Does he pay all of that, or he only pays $750?
I see.
So if it's two people and he only pays $750,
correct,
you're only at, so you're $36,000 for 4 years. You're going to put down $60,000 on this property and then spend $16,000 a year just for taxes and maintenance.
I see.
Not even including including the interest.
I see.
I don't think it's anywhere close.
I see. And that's my question, and you answered that question.
Yeah, I think you just always have to do the numbers. How much does it cost you? What's the opportunity cost of that cash? Now, again, if you can find a house in Fort Lauderdale in a decent neighborhood for $60,000 to $70,000, a foreclosure, short sale, whatever it is, it's a whole different story.
I see.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for listening to the show, and happy holiday. 16 minutes past the hour, our number 404-872-0750. Excuse me, all choked up a little bit. Lines are open, guys. Call in now. Mitch joins us on the line from Norcross. Hi, Mitch. Happy Easter.
Happy Passover.
Thank you very much. Happy Passover to you, too.
Thank you. I was wondering now the banks are charging so much money for fees for checking accounts.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any suggestions how to avoid it?
You know, it's interesting. So even though the banks have had record profits, they still feel like they need to charge all of us more money, which is really irritating. I think that, you know, there are places that you can still go where the checking account fees are very minimal. So I would look at local banks, the smaller regional banks, the S&L types of banks. They're actually needing more deposits to stabilize their balance sheets. And one way to do that is to not charge high fees. They have to compete against the big banks. So I would look there. I would look at credit unions, and I would look at some of the online banks, which may not also charge those kinds of hefty fees. The big banks that are charging the increased fees are sort of the big four banks, Chase, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, Bank of America. They're the ones who are going to be increasing fees more than, I think, the smaller banks, because they need your money less. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I was thinking of that, but, you know, I'm so used to free checking since I'm a teenager that I hate it.
Yeah, well, you know, free is really good, but I think free will come around again, but you'd have to change accounts to be able to do it. So, for example, I have free checking. I'm with my business is with a small regional bank in the Chicago area, which is where I'm from, and I think they only have about maybe 8 or 9 branches, and I have free checking. So I know in Atlanta there are companies just like that, and they're looking for your business because, again, if they want to stay in business, they have to stabilize. And there has been a lot of consolidation in Atlanta because of what's going on with the developers and bankruptcies, and, you know, it's really taken down a lot of banks. In fact, I think Georgia has lost more banks than almost any state in the country.
I think we have, yes.
Yeah, and so so that means that the big banks like BB&T and some of the others, they've gobbled up the smaller banks, but that doesn't mean that there aren't credit unions that won't give you a good deal. There aren't some smaller regional banks. Those are the ones I would start with and look for, and I think you'll probably, if not find free checking, you'll find something pretty close to it.
Okay. Do you think that there's any talking to the big banks, saying you've been there for so many years?
You know, if you have $1 million in your checking account and you say to them, I don't want to pay fees, they'll probably accommodate you. But I can't think of almost any other way that would happen right now. I mean, you could certainly go ask them, but I mean, to these big banks with billions and billions and billions of dollars in assets, they just don't seem that willing to help out a person. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Well,
I mean, always it's worth a try. Mitch, always worth a try.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You too. 19 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. I think it is really important to understand what you can get and what you can't get. But again, as I said to Mitch, it never hurts to ask. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to The Elise Glink Show. We'll have more coming up next on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Bring in every girl and boy.
25 minutes past the hour. I didn't actually know there's a whole show's worth of Easter music, but apparently there is. And I hope we're going to have Easter Parade a little bit later on for you. I love that movie. 404-872-0750, The Elise Glink Show on Easter morning. Let's go back to the phones. Travis joins us on the line. Hi, Travis. Welcome to the program.
How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Thanks.
My aunt passed away last year, and I'm the executor of her estate.
Mm-hmm.
And she left about close to $90,000 in stock and almost $85,000, basically was in CDs. And I, since then, I put that into a high interest checking account.
Okay.
Because I had to pay some things. But I really don't want to just leave it in that. I'm thinking about taking it, since houses are so low, maybe buy a house or two and rent it out.
All right, so let's stop and back up just a moment.
No problem.
Who's the beneficiary of the will? Is there a will?
Yes. The beneficiary basically are going to be the grandkids.
Okay.
And
how many are there?
Right now, there's only three. But, you know, my cousins, I think, will have a couple more kids. So that's why I'm concerned for the future. I'd like to grow this money for their college education. Then, you know, if they don't go to college, they can get it when they're 27. They can get a cash out their share of it.
Okay. So you don't know how many kids there will be. She made a bequest to all living grandchildren?
Yes, basically. Anybody in the next 7 years that are home.
That's born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got about $170,000. You could buy a couple of cheap rental houses, and you could do something with those, but I think it would be really hard to make a lot of money there.
Okay.
How old are the children? Are they pretty young?
Well, there's one that's going to be going to college in 4 years.
Okay.
But the rest of them are under 5 years old.
Have you thought about how you're going to divide up the money?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because if she goes and then the other ones aren't even born yet, how does that work out? So I think you have to have a conversation with whatever siblings are parents of grandkids and talk about how this might work out. And you can either divide it by siblings. So if there are three siblings, you would divide the money in three and then just say whatever children you have would come out of it. Or what you can do is set up, there's three now, but there could be a maximum of six.
Yes.
So of the six, you could divide the money that you have today by six and then just sort of parcel it out with a minimum amount and then a maximum amount. It's a little more complicated. You may want to have a CPA help you with it, but let's say at a minimum everybody gets $5,000, right? That's $30,000. And then over time the money will grow, and then in the time that the oldest one is going to be out of college in 8 years, let's say, there's a certain percentage that they get on the other side. There are a couple of different ways to do this. I think you have enough money there. It's worth while spending a little bit of time with an estate attorney or estate planner to walk through your options. And I think that's the best way to do it. When we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about how to find an estate planner near you. 29 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Blank. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. We were talking with Travis just before the break about his aunt who passed away. And he has been left about, he's the executor, and he's been left about $175,000 to disperse amongst the grandchildren. And at the moment, there are only three grandchildren, but there could be more because there's some other people who just haven't had their kids yet. And so it's any grandchildren that are born over the next 7 years. So what do you do when you have one grandchild who's 4 years away from college and you've got grandchildren who have yet to be born? The age diversity is going to be pretty huge, and you want to be fair to everybody. And so I was suggesting as we went off to break that Travis might want to hire an estate planner to sort of walk through a couple of different options. And he's looking to increase the return of it, which is fine. But I kind of think when you have somebody who's getting ready to go to college, you don't want to take a huge risk with stocks and with, you know, bonds. You want to have a very balanced kind of a portfolio and a very conservative one, actually, because the one who's going off to college is going to need the money. But you can't give a third of the money because because we haven't outlived the seven-year period. We haven't gotten through the seven-year period yet. And maybe there won't be any other kids, but there could be maybe as many as 4, 5, or 6, or 10. Who knows? So how do you divide up the money and still be fair to everybody, but let the one who's going off to college and who's going to be, I guess there's a buyout at 27 years old, how do you account for that? And so I feel like when you have a complicated math situation like this, you really want to talk to an estate planner, because you don't want to leave the estate open for the next 20 years. What you want to do is you probably want to set up some kind of a trust. And the trust is going to have some very specific instructions in it. And there'll have to be a trustee for the trust and a sort of a secondary trustee. And you want to figure out how you can give the cousin a chunk of money, but not give too much, but leave enough for all of them. So let's say if you knew there was just going to be, let's say, five, then, and there were only going to be five cousins, then you could just take the money, divide it into one-fifth, and be done with it. Or if you don't, but because you don't know and you want to give some money, you could give, say, each of the grandchildren a $10,000 gift, and when the others are born, another $10,000 gift, and then everything else goes into a pot and gets managed over a period of time to help pay for some college expenses. But I really think setting up the trust is the work for a professional. And then trying to figure out a calculation that's going to be fair to everybody is really important as well. It's not as easy as it looks. So, Travis, that's what I suggest you might want to do. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. We have a bunch of calls online. Ralph joins us on the line from Noonan. Hi, Ralph. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Thank you.
My brother-in-law has got a problem with his house. About 3 years ago, they both, his wife and him, lost their job, couldn't pay for the house. They were talking with the bank, told them the situation, got a realtor, tried to sell it and everything. I believe he tried to give it back to the bank in deed in lieu of foreclosure, and they wouldn't take it.
Okay.
Well, he finally got a job about 100 miles away, called the bank, told them he had to leave the house to move to where the other job was, and they finally foreclosed. Now they're coming after him for the deficiency. And like I said, it's been about 3 years.
Right.
And it was their personal residence. I thought there was a law that Obama put in that they couldn't come after you for the deficiency if it was your personal residence.
Well, yes and no. There is no law that prohibits the lender from coming after you for the deficiency. However, there is a law that the IRS won't hit you on the backside with a taxable event for that deficiency.
Okay.
So the IRS would normally treat that as income. So let's say it's a $50,000 deficiency. The next year at April 15th, the IRS would expect you to pay taxes, state and federal, but they won't because it was a personal residence. But the deficiency is a tough thing. Now, I heard of a very interesting strategy to try and reduce the deficiency. And a lot of banks, by the way, are not doing it, but I'm hearing more and more about how the economy is coming back, and they're thinking that this is actually going to be worthwhile.
Right.
And your brother-in-law might have engaged an attorney to negotiate that they wouldn't come after him for the deficiency, but it's a little late for that now.
Right.
One thing they might want to do is see what the house actually sold for. So what's happening is that the bank has, if it hasn't already sold the property again, it's just taken it back, they might be estimating the deficiency at whatever was still owed on the mortgage. But if they actually sold the property for more than that, so let's say, you know, they're saying it's a $50,000 deficiency, but they actually sold the house to an investor and they actually got 90% of the mortgage amount, the deficiency is only really 10%.
Right.
So it would be worth spending a little time to figure out if they've actually sold that property and what they sold it for.
It's been three years now, so.
Well, it doesn't matter about the 3 years.
Okay.
It matters about what the property, the foreclosure price was, and whether they've sold it for more. Like, how much money did the bank actually lose?
Right.
That's the more important thing. There are attorneys who can help do this. But unfortunately, if there's a they've sued for a deficiency and they've received a judgment, they will be looking for that money to come back to them.
Right, right. He just got a letter, and I don't know if it's informing him that they're going to go to court or what. We're supposed to have a get-together, and I'm going to see him this afternoon. But
okay. Well, you can find out where it is,
right.
And you know, you may be want to advise him to speak right. with a real estate attorney who could actually give him legal advice, since he's going to go to court, and he's going to need somebody to help fight against this. And maybe there's a case to be made that they didn't foreclose more quickly, or they didn't help him, or, you know, whatever the case is going to be.
Right.
Maybe there's documentation that he can provide that shows that the bank was negligent in some way, and you can come up with a settlement. So instead of owing $50,000, he only owes $10,000.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you.
You're so very welcome. I hope it goes well for him. This is a really, really tough situation all the way around. 404-872-0750 on the Elyse Glenn Show on AM 750, now 95.5 FM. We've got a couple of more calls. Lines are open, folks. I know it's Easter Sunday, but it's a good day to call. John joins us on the line with Forest Park. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you? Happy Easter.
I'm good, thank you. Happy Easter back at you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I had my mortgage to Chase Bank, and they sold my mortgage to Linda Business Processing Services, IBM.
Okay, I've been hearing about these kinds of sales.
Yeah, and I was just paying my mortgage with Chase, and IBM took it over, and now they're trying to establish me an escrow account.
Uh-huh.
I've been paying my own taxes forever.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find out, is that a legal process that they can do?
They can ask you to do that. I don't think they can require you to do it, because that wasn't in the original term of the loan.
That's what I figured, but they've been sending me my statement there. They added the escrow amount onto it. Now they're saying I owe them like $155, which they was.
Have you picked up the phone and called them, John?
I've called them, sent them information and documents where I elected not to have an escrow account, and they still sending my bill. Now they're trying to say that I'm behind on my mortgage on the account.
Okay, you need to step it up here. You need to contact two things. Do you have a pen and paper?
Uh-huh.
You need to file a complaint with the OCC. helpwithmybank.gov. You should also call the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance and file a complaint against IBM.
Okay.
Their number, I'll give you the number, it's 770-986-1633, and you can tell them that IBM is in violation of your agreement with Chase, and they bought it subject to the terms of the loan. The terms of the loan did not have an escrow account, and you need to file a complaint against them, and you want them to investigate. You can also file a complaint with the Governor's Office of Consumer Affairs.
Okay.
They don't like this kind of stuff either. 404-651-8600.
Okay.
And I think that if you start making a little noise here, they're going to stop doing this to you.
Okay.
But you got to get a little bit more active.
Okay, well, in the meantime, it'll be all right. Just for me to continue to send my regular mortgage payment other than...
Yeah, John, you should definitely send your mortgage payment, and you should make it clear and send a note or write it on every check. This is the total amount due in compliance with my current loan mortgage documents.
Okay.
I think you may have to sue them in small claims court, but I would also advise you to have a conversation with a real estate attorney, because sometimes if you have an attorney call, they're going to get a little bit, you know, less assured that you're late on your mortgage, because they're reporting you late now, and it's not true.
Okay.
But you have to take it quite a bit further, and you're going to have to get a little bit noisier about this.
All right.
All right?
All right. Thank you much.
You're very welcome. I hope it goes well. 47 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glenn Show, 404-872-0750. Let's take another call before we go to break. Arlevia joins us on the line. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes.
Very nice. Thank you for calling. Welcome to the Elyse Glenn Show. How can I help you today?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been need some help. My husband and I purchased a house about 11 years ago, a brand new house in a brand new subdivision at the beginning of the subdivision. We paid about $230,000. We owe about $106,000 now. My question is upgrade. My husband would like to do upgrade, but because of the housing market, I'm a little concerned that if we do upgrade, such as the countertop, things of that nature, wood floors, is it worth it to do it? Because I don't know how long it would take the economy to return and the amount of money we should spend.
Okay. How long are you going to stay in the house?
We plan to at least stay in the house another 10 to 15 years. I'm 51. My husband is 52.
Okay. So you're going to stay there another 10 to 15 years. That sounds good. What's going on in your neighborhood in this subdivision? Are the homes selling? Are they not selling? Are they worth money? Are they not worth the money?
When we purchased the house, it was the subdivision was brand new. I think we were like the 10th or 11th person to to purchase the house. It's a subdivision of about 1,700 now, and we've done very well. However, there have been a number of people to sell, because a lot of the people are in the airline business. So over the last 8 years or so, that's kind of changed around a lot. But they do sell, but they're not selling at the cost, of course, that they were selling, 5 to 6 years ago.
No, I get that, but I'm wondering if there are home, if the prices have dropped,
Yes, they have.
So what do you think the houses in your neighborhood are selling for right now? $150,000, $100,000,
$50,000? Well, I purchased my house for $230,000.
Got it. I understand, Olivia, but it's completely irrelevant. What's the last house that sold for in the neighborhood?
I bet about $242,000, but they paid about $310,000 or $315,000 back when it was purchased.
But the foreclosures are in the neighborhood. There are foreclosures?
No, ma'am.
There are no foreclosures.
Not bad.
Okay. So the homes that are selling, you think they're selling in the low to mid 200,000 range?
Right, because they range from 150 to 800.
Okay. Now tell me, how much do you want to spend on your improvements?
That was my concern. How much should we spend?
I think you could. Okay, you're going to be there 10 to 15 years. I think you could spend $50,000 and you would be safe.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
If you only owe $106,000 and the homes are selling in the low 200,000s, you could spend $50,000. Do you have $50,000 in cash, or are you going to borrow it?
No borrow.
Oh, great. So you're just going to spend $50,000, keep paying down your loan. You're going to be right side up on your house, continue to be right side up on your house. You sounds like you can afford it. You're going to be there to enjoy it. And it sounds like it'll be a good thing for you. So I would go ahead and do it. I just wouldn't spend $500,000.
Okay. I was concerned. I didn't want to do it because I said later on we wouldn't be able to recoup the money.
Well, but you may not be able to recoup it, but you're going to live there for 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
I mean, in 10 to 15 years, kitchens can be entirely redone 15 years down the line.
Okay.
Right? Your wood floors are going to need work in 15 years. It's a long period of time. So I think you should do it and enjoy it. As long as you can pay cash for it, I think you're in great shape.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a happy Easter, Olivia. 51 minutes past the hour. Lines are wide open. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glank. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more and News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glank is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody. The latest news, weather, and traffic coming up at the top of the hour for in-depth news coverage. Remember to pick up your Sunday Atlanta Journal-Constitution to read about a report about how sweeping immigration changes will shape business across the state. 404-872-0750 on the Elise Glank Show, Easter Sunday. Dennis joins us on the line from Marietta. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Ms. Glank. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What's going on in your world?
Well, 2010 was really rough for me. I got home from Afghanistan. And we moved from Georgia to Virginia and then had to move home because I lost my job up there.
Wow, that is really rough. And thank you for serving our country.
You're very welcome. Anyways, what happened was we were up there. We moved home. I had to break the lease. They're coming. The department is coming after us for about $5,000 in the collection, and we got a payment plan set up. While I was up there, we also purchased new furniture because I was making more money up there than I was at home. So I took a pay cut. I took my old job, and now they hit us with a $2,000 collection, and then I got a bill from HSBC who the account was with, and now it's $5,000 or $6,000 because I evidently defaulted on the agreement of the loan. And I'm just wondering what I can do to – I can't take I don't see a $10,000 window where I could pay this off.
Right.
I just don't see it. So.
Okay. So one thing I would say to you is if you are in a situation where you just seriously cannot afford it based on what you're earning, are you married?
I am.
You're married. And you and your wife have looked at your expenses. You've done every single thing you can. This is where you do one of two things. Either you go into a debt management program, like with Credibility.
Right.
Or you file for bankruptcy.
Well, we've started the debt management program. I've talked to Credibility, and I've given them all my information, and I went through their website, and I just haven't heard back from them. I'm kind of on edge because I really like them to get back with me, and I'm just looking for another option. Do I go to another nonprofit?
No. How long have you not heard back from them? That's kind of I'm a little bit confused by that because they should be back in touch with you very, very quickly. Tell you what, Dennis, send me an email with your email address, your phone number, contact information. I sit on an advisory board for Credibility, and I will forward your email to somebody who's pretty high up in the chain and make sure that for some reason your situation hasn't slipped through the cracks for them and that somebody will get back to you early this week. All right? You can find me online at my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Send me an email, all your contact information, and I'll see what I can do for you. It is 59 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the show on News Talk WSB.
Live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB. Brought to you by Mark Tytel with Realty First.
Minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Happy Easter and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1. We have a prize pack to give away this hour. We have Mark Tytel of Realty First and GetOutStartOver.com, who's going to be in with another story about some things that are happening in his office this week with foreclosures and short sales. You're going to stick around for that. We have, I'm going to talk in just a minute about wedding insurance, and I got to say I'm all agog over the royal wedding. One thing you may not know about me is that I lived in North Wales for a year when I was in school. I was studying music with a Welsh composer who actually composed the Royal Wedding March for Charles and Diana. And I'm kind of a royal fan, I have to say. I've been following the relationship of Kate Middleton and Prince William. They're getting married on Friday. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know. Maybe nobody cares about it. I kind of care about it because where they live up in the Isle of Anglesey, which is in sort of the top corner of Wales, I actually lived across the Menai Strait from there. That was my year of living in Wales and studying music. I've actually shopped at the Tesco grocery store that they go to. I've eaten at some of the places that they go to. And I just have a really strong affinity for the Welsh people, and I loved my year there, and I've been back many, many times to climb mountains and walk around and just to attend some concerts and, you know, crawl over castles that are up there. I'm a big old castle fan. The Edwardian castles are really beautiful. And so I find that this week I'm kind of focused on what's going on with the royal wedding. And, of course, the fashion world is sort of wondering what kind of dress Kate has designed for herself. I think she's got a lot of good taste. So she seems to certainly have got the royal family together, at least her place in it. That's just kind of nice. But can you imagine having to plan a wedding for 1,900 people in 4 months? seems very, very difficult. And, of course, there are all kinds of other things she had to get. She had to get her own coat of arms, and she had to get all of her, she had to get all kinds of other things in order, and she had to get confirmed by the Church of England. So she's had quite a four-month period of engagement. I'm sure she's going to be happy. It'll be over. And then she gets to go on her honeymoon. One thing we did this week on the Equifax Personal Finance blog is we talked about wedding insurance. The spring is a big time of year for people to get married, and June in this country is kind of thought of as the wedding month. And so we asked Linda Ray, who blogs about insurance on the Equifax Personal Finance blog, which you can find at equifax.com/blog. We asked her to talk a little bit about how to protect yourself on the big day with wedding insurance. And she said that it's kind of interesting because, you know, wedding insurance is such a new product. It's only been around the last few years, and it's the kind of product that you really don't want to think about. It's kind of like life insurance, right? You don't want to buy life insurance because it makes you think about what happens after you die. And wedding insurance is all about when you don't have a wedding that happens. And so Linda came up with some of the things that you might want to think about your wedding. You know, the average wedding in the U.S. costs about $27,800, according to the Knot.com. How much does it cost to protect an investment of $24,000 or $30,000? Well, about $125 to $500 for a wedding policy. And it's kind of similar to travel insurance, although with travel insurance, you'll spend that much for a whole lot less of a trip. Here it's $25,000 to $30,000 wedding. So what does wedding insurance typically cover? Well, it covers illness or injury. So if critical members of the wedding party get injured or sick and you have to postpone it, you'll be covered. It covers the officiant. If the person who's going to officiate at your wedding doesn't show up or causes other problems, you get reimbursed. Covers the vendors, florist, photographer, caterer, whoever is providing services. It covers the venue. And it also covers a change of heart. So if you've seen the movie, Linda said, if you've seen the movie Runaway Bride, all the other fiancés probably wish they had purchased wedding insurance against that cold feet or change of heart. Now, what else can you buy insurance for? Well, you know, for the wedding. Well, you can get out-of-business insurance. So if you bought a gown and rented your tuxedo, and before you could pick it up, the shop closed, you'd be reimbursed. Gifts. You can protect your gifts against theft or damage. You can protect your house against liability if you're having your wedding at home or at a venue that doesn't carry liability insurance. You can protect your honeymoon in case you need to cancel your trip due to illness, bad weather, or other unfortunate circumstances. Or for military service. If you're in the military and you're called to duty and the ceremony has to be postponed, you could be reimbursed. So there are definitely a lot of things that you can do to protect yourself for the wedding, and you may want to do that. I think it depends on how much you're spending, but remember, it doesn't cover everything kind of the way you think it would, and every policy is a little different. So you want to shop around, read it very carefully, understand exactly what's being covered and what you have to do to get reimbursed by the insurance company, which is always top of mind, and then make a decision based on how much it is. If you're going to spend $30,000 and it's $500 and that will cover $10,000 to $20,000 of the expenses, I think it's probably worth it if you feel like something could happen. So, again, take a look at your situation, figure it out. There are all kinds of other links associated with this story on the Equifax Personal Finance blog at equifax.com/blog. Go there, click on Linda Ray's story. The links will take you other places and give you great information. 13 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show on Easter Sunday. We are at 404-872-0750. Online, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Lines are wide open, so call in with your questions. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Jerry joins us on the line all the way from Chicago. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Happy holiday this weekend.
To you, too.
Thanks. What's going on?
Listen, I have a question. Does the lender, mortgage lender, has the right to place forced insurance, but backdated? Let's say that several years past, and he's backdating, the lender is backdating insurance when it was lapsed. Do they have the legal right to do that?
They do, actually. So if you had homeowner's insurance and you just didn't pay the insurance policy, and the lender finds out about that, the lender can put forward and pay the insurance and catch up the policy and charge you for it.
We're talking about paying for the insurance like 2 years later for something that doesn't make any kind of logical sense, because...
Why did you let the insurance lapse?
Well, there were financial situation that I lapsed, but then I obtained insurance, and then they forced insurance on me at the time when the new insurance was actually in place. So they forced insurance for the previous year, for the year, which was 2 years ago. So that's what I'm trying. I understand that they can place the insurance, forced insurance, if you left your insurance last, but that's for the current period, not for something that happened like 2 years ago.
It depends what your loan says, Jerry. It may be that they paid, when your insurance wasn't paid for, they may have paid a policy for you, and now they're just charging it for you.
No, they didn't. No. First of all, they can't find the loan documents. Neither do I. Second of all, in this business where everybody is buying everybody and nobody is really, we are selling the paper to all kind of financial institutions. Obviously, the problem is that they could have been lost. But even if they were not lost, even if they found, I mean,
but you're in violation of your loan agreement.
I understand that.
Okay, take a breath. If you're in violation of your loan agreement, your loan papers, which I have not seen and you don't even know where they are, and neither does your lender, but typically the loan papers allow the lender to buy insurance if you let your insurance lapse and charge you for it. If they didn't do it in time, I don't believe in most lenders' loan documents that I have seen, there is no set time that then, you didn't have insurance for 2 years ago, but your house didn't burn down, but so we're not going to charge you for that. No, they typically have paid it, and now the loan paperwork is just catching up. But even if they didn't, I believe they have the right to force you to buy it or to buy it on your behalf and then charge you for it. Now, why don't you have the closing papers? Have you called the title company?
Well, I don't know. We had a flood at home, and they could have been gone, the papers. But I don't think that you clearly understand my question. I did let the insurance lapse, but then I obtained it with... I get
that you obtained it, and they want to charge you for their version of it. Right?
But they want to charge for their version that was actually 2 years later.
Okay, I get it, Jerry. But I don't think I'm giving you the answer you want. So you think I don't understand the question? But I understand the question. Your question is, can they charge you for insurance for 2 years ago when now you have a policy, but you didn't then, and the house didn't burn down? So who cares?
That's right.
I get the question. I'm not too much of an idiot. I get it. But what I'm saying to you is, I don't think your answer is the right answer. I think that the answer is, if you don't have, loan documents, and they don't have loan documents, and you think they're not charging you appropriately, you can sue them in small claims court for doing this. But every loan document I have ever seen allows them the right to back charge you for insurance that they probably would have paid for on your behalf. But, don't take my word for it. If you feel that you are not being treated appropriately, in Chicago, you can call the Department of Banking and Finance for the state of Illinois, and you can file a complaint against the lender and have them contact the lender. And if it's one of the big lenders, you can also file a complaint with the OCC at helpwithmybank.org. And then they will go and there'll be an investigation, and you can see what the story is. But the moral here is, or the lesson to be learned is, always pay your insurance premium. It's really important. 18 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with the calls. Mike joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you, Elise?
Good, thanks. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I have a four with a 4 weeks old baby.
Congratulations. Are you getting any sleep?
No.
Okay.
My question is, we're trying to put something on the side for her to start now. And I've looked at 529, whatever they tell me, but my concern is we might be moving overseas. So what's the plan that, you know, if I move overseas, if I cut something now and I move overseas, what happens to the plan?
I have a better idea for you.
Okay.
Here's the idea. Do you already have a 529, not 529, see, I'm just giving you the same idea. do you have a Roth IRA?
No.
I want you to open up a Roth IRA.
Roth IRA.
You and your wife can each put up to $5,000 into a Roth IRA, provided you don't earn more than, I think this year it's like $109,000.
Okay.
And you can put that money away, and that money can't be touched for 5 years, you know,
okay.
But you can do withdrawals for college tuition, and that money will grow tax-free forever.
Okay.
And I just think that it's a retirement account for you and your wife,
okay.
But you can manage it abroad. You can even contribute to it. You may be able to contribute to it abroad.
Okay.
And it's a lot easier than worrying about a 529 plan, and you have total control over it. And ultimately, the goal is your retirement. But you want to use it for college tuition? No problem.
Okay, great.
Why don't you try that? And then if you move back and you want to do something else and you're making more money, this is an easy solution. And I would pick some place where you can put in plain vanilla accounts. Like I would maybe open it up with Vanguard. And
then, that was my next question.
Yep.
I'm new to this. I don't know where to go.
I love Vanguard. You could do Fidelity. I would do index funds. Vanguard and Fidelity have the cheapest index funds at the moment. You can manage it online. I would just put in like 50% in stocks and 50% in bonds. Call it a day and just let it go.
Great. Hey,
all
thanks
right.
a lot.
Well, you're very welcome. Congratulations on the baby, and congratulations to you and your wife for 4 weeks old. You're over your head in diapers, and you're already thinking about college. It bodes well for all of you. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. We're going to have a prize pack to give away when we come back. Mark Tatel is in the studio from GetOutStartOver.com to share the latest foreclosure and short sale stories from his office this week. We're going to take your questions. It's going to be a busy time. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour. Seriously, let's pretend we're bunny rabbits. Okay, we have the WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack to give away. Prize Pack value this Easter Sunday, $485. It includes a pair of tickets to the Alliance Theater's production of August, Osage County, now through May 8th on the Alliance stage. A $100 Spa Sidel gift certificate, a McDonald's one-week breakfast prize pack, and gift certificate for a full house plumbing inspection, courtesy of Superior Plumbing. Great prize pack this week, everybody. We'll give it away to the fifth caller. Prize pack line, 404-741-0750. 404-741-0750. Be nice to Clint. He's the one who's going to take your call. Good luck, and may the best bunny win. It is 27 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the housing market and some of the numbers from this week. CoreLogic is estimating that 11.1 million people with mortgages, or about 23% in total, are underwater with their mortgages. Huge number. Zillow, which is a Seattle-based mortgage and real estate information service, thinks that 27% of mortgage holders are underwater with their mortgages. We'll talk a little bit more about what that means coming up. And, of course, we'll talk about how that feeds right into the short sale and foreclosure market in Georgia. Not really getting any better. Mark Tatel is here with GetOutStartOver.com to talk about what's been going on in his office this week. Stay tuned for all that news, weather, and traffic next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
6 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show. Next week, we have a treat for you. Diana Henriquez, who is the chief personal finance reporter for the New York Times, is publishing her new book. It's coming out in 2 days on Tuesday, and it's all about Bernie Madoff. And she has spent the last 2 years exhaustively researching Bernie Madoff. She's actually visited with him in prison. She's just an incredible reporter. She's the reporter that all the journalists want to grow up to be. I'm a huge fan. She's a good friend of mine. I just saw her at a business journalism conference. The book comes out Tuesday, and I've asked her to join us on the show live next Sunday in the second hour so that you can ask her your Bernie Madoff questions. I told her we spent a lot of time talking about Bernie Madoff on the show, and that I have just a huge number of questions, and I'm sure you would as well. And so Diana Henriquez will be here live next Sunday so that you can talk to her a little bit about Bernie Madoff and what happened with Bernie Madoff, why it was allowed to happen. And she told me some very interesting off-the-record stories about her meeting with him that she couldn't, I can't share with you now because I'm under embargo until Tuesday when the book comes out. But I'm very excited that she'll be here on Sunday. We'll all get to ask her questions. So make sure, appointment viewing, everybody, next Sunday, second hour for sure. Now, I want to talk for a minute about what's going on with home prices, because it looks like, if you look at this really interesting chart that Robert Shiller of the Case-Shiller Index created, it looks over the trends of housing values over the past 120 years. And really, it kind of shows you what the huge bubble, which peaked in July of 2008 and has been deflating, housing prices have been deflating ever since. And one of the things that Robert Shiller says is that it looks like housing prices could drop another 5 to 10%. To get back to the historic 120-year norm. And the idea, we had a little bit of a bubble around 1980. We had a little bit of a bubble, you know, the beginning of the 1990s. And then we had this massive bubble in 2008 that is now about halfway popped, maybe a little bit better than halfway. So the question is, what's going to happen going forward? And are we really in for another little bit of a housing shock or a continuation of the housing shock? And I think the answer is probably yes. And if you look at, you know, what people have been saying about the economy, I think there was some hope from the senior economist that the economy by now, 2 years into the recovery, would be a whole lot farther along, and that would have brought a boost to the housing industry and perhaps not still had the downside left to go. But the folks that I've been talking to are all talking about 2014, 2015. They keep pushing it out because we're so used to having an immediate response. I mean, look at the stock market, all the way down to 6,600, and now it's at 12,500 plus. I mean, we're double where it was. We're more than double where it was in a very short period of time. But housing prices don't work that way. And you have a massive bubble, and it pops. The air kind of doesn't go boom, explode, it's all gone. It's more like a, you know, the little bit of the pop, and then the air slowly starts to come out of the bubble. That's kind of what we're experiencing, and it's very frustrating, and it's causing all kinds of bigger issues for people who are trying to right their financial ships, and it's not just happening. So is every place around the country going to experience a 10% dive? I don't think so, but we're in a situation in Georgia where unemployment is very, very high. True unemployment is really high. And then you're looking at a huge number of foreclosures and all kinds of other stuff going on. And it's just very, very painful. So, unfortunately, I think we're going to see more people who are underwater, more people who are suffering. And unfortunately, what the Fed is doing, while keeping interest rates low, lenders don't seem to really want to lend to people at the moment. And so it's not really happening all that many. 41 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750 at News Talk WSB. Let's see if we can get a few more calls in before the end of the show. Betty joins us on the line from Sandy Springs. Hi, Betty.
Good morning. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. I was interested in finding out about laddering some money that I have. I got a windfall of money, and I want this to be my bucket in case anything were to happen. So I'd like to know, just in the next 5 years, how to ladder that money.
How long are you going to need it to last? Is it immediate money, like within 5 years you're going to use it or not?
Within 5 years.
Okay. So there's very little you can do safely that will take you through the next 5 years, but I'm perfectly comfortable. And would you need all the money at once or some of it?
No, just some of it. Well, I take that back. All of it. Let's say all of it. Yeah.
Okay. So then what you'd probably want to do is take all of the money and put it into a six-month CD. And it's the end of 6 months. You can re-up. And if interest rates have gone up, you'll get a little bit more. And if not, they haven't. And just keep doing that.
Okay.
It's very safe. It's not laddering in the traditional sense. Laddering is where you might say, if you have $10,000, you might divide it into, let's say, $2,000 chunks. And $2,000 gets invested in a one-year CD, and the next year $2,000 gets invested in another CD, and then you buy one that's a four-year turnaround. You know, you would ladder them basically so that they have maturation dates that are a little bit different.
Okay.
But if you need all the money right at once, there's no benefit to signing up for 5 years over a six-month. I mean, the amount of difference in interest is minuscule, and it's too much risk to lock up your money for that long. So just do 6 months, roll it over, and if interest rates go higher, which they can hardly go lower, so if they're going anywhere, they're probably going higher, you'll be able to roll the money and get a little bit more interest over the next 5 years, and then the money will all be there ready for you when you need it.
Wonderful. Okay, great. That answered my question. One more thing I'd like to mention, that Wednesday is Administrative Assistance Day. So think about your administrative assistants out there.
Are you an administrative assistant?
I was.
You were. And do you have one now who works for you?
I do.
Wow. Well, that is really nice of you to mention. I wrote a book a number of years ago for Quill, which is an office supply company, called The Really Useful Guide to Working Smarter, Not Harder. And we wrote the book for admins all over the country. And the company gave away 100,000 copies of the book. I had a few left over. I gave them away on the air. They're all gone now. But it was a great book that really celebrated the people who make offices run. And so thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
I will. You too.
Goodbye.
It's 43 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. Don't stay tuned because Mark Tatel from GetOutStartOver.com is going to be with us in a moment. Frankie joins us on the line from Lithia Springs. Hi, Frankie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Yes, ma'am. I'm purchasing one of the foreclosures this week.
Okay.
And I had my realtor has informed me that they got a little packet that I need to send them. They want their funds before the closing.
Okay.
They want it wired to a bank in San Francisco. And so I was just wondering about that. You know, I've never always when I close houses in the past, I've went to the attorneys and they just, you know, I gave them a cashier's check and they dispersed it, you know, as they needed it. And then, you know, and then if I had anything coming back, I'd get it or whatever, you know.
Right. But, so who's actually processing the closing?
Well, it's a local attorney here in Atlanta. And but they've got they want me to wire the money to San Francisco. And they're local here in Atlanta. And I just don't understand that.
You know, it's a little bit confusing. It's possible that the lender, the investor, is in San Francisco and they want the money directly, but I don't understand why it's not going through the traditional closing channels so that you have some protection.
That's what I'm worried about. So if I wire that money out of my account into theirs, I've got just a little thing that tells me what to do and how to do it. and it lists on there the number on it. And, you know, they want me to list my address of the house that I'm purchasing on there and everything. All that has to be on there.
I get all that, but I don't know understand what kind of confirmation that you're going to get. Now, typically...
Excuse me, ma'am, but I was told that it might have been because some of the banks that went under, and I was told something like that might have, you know, they might have done it for that reason, you know. But I just, that was one of my main questions. I just want to know, you know, if you'd ever run into that and what I need to do.
I have not run into that, but it doesn't surprise me. Is the attorney working for the lender?
Yes, ma'am.
And have you looked into the attorney? Is the attorney legitimate?
He's supposed to be. I called another attorney, and he was real familiar with him, and they've been in business in Atlanta for years.
Okay, so did you ask the attorney you called about the situation, and is this common for this particular lender?
Yes, ma'am. He said that he hadn't heard of that either, and he said, but, you know, that it don't surprise him because so many of them are going under, and then a lot of times the attorney gets stuck, you know, with all the, you know, he gets stuck with a bunch of checks that he can't do nothing with, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't mind that you have to wire money, but I think I would want another level of protection. So, how much money are we talking about?
About $30,000.
One thing you can do is go to a local title company or escrow company, and you can literally wire the funds through them and have them be the people who wire it to the bank or to the investor. And then if something happens, the title company is going to be responsible for it, not you.
Right.
So that's one thing you can do. I think you should also talk to the attorney about what kind of protections that you have. And you may want to hire your own real estate attorney so that the attorney can monitor the situation and assist in any ways. And that way you've got somebody on your side who you're paying to protect you in this situation. And it sounds, maybe this is common, maybe it isn't. If somebody emails me at thinklink.com, I will certainly put it up on the web, their response to it, but I think I'd want another level of protection. 404-872-0750. It is 48 minutes past the hour. Mark Tatel of GetOutStartOver.com is going to be joining us in a moment. We're also going to have the latest news, weather, and traffic coming up at the top of the hour. Don't forget to pick up this Sunday's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. There's a report about how sweeping immigration changes will shape business across the state. It is 12 minutes before the hour on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
53 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. I hope you're having a lovely Easter Sunday, or if you're listening tomorrow morning, hope you had a good one yesterday. We are online all the time at thinkglink.com. You can sign up for the free weekly newsletter. We have lots of announcements coming up over the next couple of weeks. You're not going to want to miss out, and the place to go is there. I should mention that this Thursday night, I'm going to be conducting an online chat on behalf of the Equifax Personal Finance blog. It's the 28th. It's at 8 p.m. East Coast time, I think. I think that's right. If you go to if you're friending or if you like the Facebook fan page of Equifax, just go to chats and you'll see it. But I will put up a link today on the blog that'll take you right there. We're going to be talking all about the mortgage market, interest rates, all the rest. You're not going to want to miss it. It's a great one-on-one opportunity to just hang out and get some great information. I'm not usually on the air Thursday nights, but I will be for Equifax this week. So if you go to thinklink.com and click on the blog or sign up for the free weekly newsletter, we're going to be mentioning it in the newsletter. It comes on Thursday mornings. It'll remind you. Or you can go to the Equifax Facebook fan page, facebook.com/Equifax. Go to the chat room and sign up for a reminder. That's a good way to do it as well. 54 minutes past the hour, Mark Tatel joins us in the studio with GetOutStartOver.com. So, Mark, we took a lot of questions today, people who are having trouble with their mortgages. What's going on in your office this week?
This week, you know, every week actually, we have a client or two that comes in into the office and asks us the same question when it comes to help the short sale. The question that they have is, will I qualify for a short sale even though I'm not behind on my mortgage yet?
Well, is the answer yes or no?
That's a great question. You know, the statistics show that most short sales are approved faster if you are 2 months or more behind on your mortgage. But that also a very straightforward way into foreclosure, because you may not beat the clock and you may foreclose faster than you can get that short sale approved. That's the way the market works today.
You know, you're not supposed to have to be behind for a bank to approve a short sale.
That is correct. There is a misconception going on in the market that you must be behind 2 months in order to get the bank to talk to you. But that is not the case in real life.
Okay, so you're getting people to talk to you even if the sellers are not behind on their mortgages.
That is correct. The key question is the qualifying cause. Do you have a qualifying cause that will approve your short sale?
So what do you mean by qualifying cause?
And the qualifying cause could be any kind. It could be loss of employment, job transfer, divorce, increase in family members or death, disability, or even high debt that you can no longer manage. All of this qualify you as a hardship to get the short sale approved.
Okay, so today we heard from a former military who has served our country in Afghanistan. He lost a job, got a new job. His situation is a little different. He didn't own a property, but if he did own a property, that would qualify.
That is correct. Now, with the VA, Veteran Affairs, it's a separate ballgame. You have to be very careful because there is an entitlement that you may lose if you go into foreclosure. So short sale option is probably even priority for Veteran Affairs Administration client.
How much longer does it take to get approved for a short sale if you're not behind on your mortgage than if you are behind?
It really depends on the servicer or the bank or the note holder, because each different bank has a different way of how to process it. But 46% of all mortgages in the country are some kind of government-sponsored entity mortgages. Now, and last week I attended Fannie Mae seminar or training where they specifically stated that government-sponsored entities should avoid foreclosures in any possible way, if possible.
If possible. It's always possible not to foreclose. I mean, that's kind of a ridiculous statement, don't you think?
That's right. However, we need some cooperation on the defaulted borrowers or borrowers who are in trouble. A lot of times, borrowers get shut down. They stop communicating. They stop talking. They're in trouble, but they're doing nothing. They take no action.
Right. That's true.
So that is what it means. And the biggest advice that you could probably give to all the people is that you definitely have better than 50% chance getting the short sale approved. So take the action.
Okay. So to take action, what should they do?
Well, first of all, you have to try to see if there's anything available for you besides the short sale and foreclosure. First, you can go to the website and get knowyouroptions.gov to see what kind of options do you have.
Right. So knowyouroptions.gov is good. Then what do they do? Contact the short sale broker or who?
Yes, the best way, if you decide that loan modification or any other option is not there for you, not refinance possible, no loan modification, hire a professional short sale broker and list your home for sale and ask the bank to approve and permit the short sale to go through.
Now, there's a price that you can get the bank to talk about ahead of time so you know what you're dealing with, right?
That is correct. You can actually approach and prepare the package to the bank for the so-called short sale package, where the bank looks at all the numbers, looks at your situation and says, great, we'll give you 3 months to do the short sale, hire a real estate broker and start working.
You know, it's really interesting, Mark, and we're going to have to call it a day in a moment, but it's interesting that if you hire the wrong kind of a real estate broker, you're really not going to get too far down the path. You really need to hire somebody who really understands the short sale market and the foreclosure market and has worked worked with these banks over and over again to actually get anywhere, don't you think?
Absolutely. You have to be willing to jump all the hoops. This is not just a regular retail sale. That's why foreclosure broker, short sale broker is very important.
Right. Mark Tatel of Realty First and the website getoutstartover.com. Thanks for being our person on the ground for short sales and foreclosures. Great information as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you very much.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, folks, we got to run. It is 59 minutes past the hour. Find me online at thinkglink.com. Give me a few minutes and I will put up all of the information from today's show. Have a great Easter Sunday, everybody.